Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, welcome to the Autism Detectives. This is Patricia Lemmer, the author of Outsmarting Autism. I'm thrilled today to have on my show Dr. Susan Daniel. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Susan's talking to us from California, is that right?
That's right, in Carlsbad.
In Carlsbad. I don't think I've ever been there.
It's so, in San Diego County.
Oh, it is. It's Southern California.
Yes.
So Susan is a neurodevelopmental optometrist. That's a mouthful.
It sure is, isn't it?
And Susan, my listeners have heard several optometrists, including some neurodevelopmental optometrists. We've had Dr. Debbie Zielinski and Hans Lessman and Sarah Lane and Alyssa Beck and Randy Shulman. So you're in good company.
Absolutely. I love them all.
So let's start by talking about, we've got two adjectives there in front of optometrist. What makes you a developmental optometrist and what makes you a neurodevelopmental optometrist?
Well, the developmental optometrist means that we have extra training, postgraduate, that is to really work with and understand the development of how vision impacts babies, toddlers, and children. And what we do as developmental optometrists is evaluate their visual skills as well as their visual health and their eye health, and see how we can help the development of the body and their sense of sight and throughout their growing period. So especially with conditions such as amblyopia, which is a lazy eye, or strabismus, which is eye crossing or eye turning out. That's what developmental optometrists work with. They also work with children with special needs. So that's where I come along, is working with a lot of children and adults that have autism, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, any type of developmental delays. And a neurooptometrist is someone that works with neurological conditions such as a stroke or a brain injury or Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and even children that have a stroke or a head injury. So that's where the neuro part and the developmental part comes into the long title that goes with my name.
Wonderful. Thank you for that explanation. So you have a practice where you see both children and adults, and you are the mother also of four children, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And one of your...
They all made it to adulthood, so that's all wonderful.
Congratulations. And so one of your children has both developmental and neurological issues. Were you an optometrist before you were a mother or vice versa?
I was an optometrist working in just general optometry for about 10 years before I had my son Matthew. And I didn't even know really about neurooptometry. I was familiar with developmental optometry, but it never crossed my path in my career.
Interesting.
And I had referred patients to developmental optometrists, and so when I had my son and he had was diagnosed with autism and encephalitis, that's where the brain injury comes in, I had was taking him to a lot of different specialists and therapists, you know, occupational therapy and speech and physical therapy and music therapy. You know, he was in all therapies. And I was asking them who is their specialist for children like my son who were pretty severe on the spectrum. And they didn't have anybody in my area. I'm in North County, San Diego. They had someone in South County. I had decided at that moment, actually, that I was going to be the autism specialist in our area.
Well, good for you.
Filled
two needs, right? Your own personal need and the need for the public to have an expert in your area.
Yes, I was doing so much research, you know, as a mama bear, you know, I was doing
right.
so much research to help my son, and I went to dozens of optometry offices that specialized in special needs and developmental optometrists, and throughout, you know, those first few years, and I just scoured the internet, read every article I could, and then I got involved with the international groups that work with training for developmental optometrists, and and so that's where I just started doing it. And the biggest teachers that I had were the patients. You know, they taught me some. Each one is so very different and has so many different aspects with their health, with their development, with many different visual problems. And so I had to help put together the pieces of that puzzle to help them. And one of the best books that I've ever read was Outsmarting Autism.
Well,
and
thank
that gave
you.
Me, yeah, that gave me so much information on the myriad of options that are out there to help my son, and also really the big key of vision and in that whole puzzle. And the piece that is often missed in the treatment for kids and helping them in their development.
And that's what I got so passionate about, was here I was a disability specialist, and in the 1980s, I met my first optometrist, Dr. Emil Franke, who you may know. We just lost him at 90, I think he was 99.
Okay.
And he was the one who put me on the road to learning about optometry and developmental optometry and vision therapy and how it could help these kids. And so I really felt like I had found my people. And my first book actually was published by the Optometric Extension Program, and it was called Envisioning a Bright Future.
Yes.
And so that was really, I didn't write that. I edited that, and it had a lot of different contributors. So tell us about Matthew. How old is he now?
He's 26, and he's doing really great. He is a non-speaker or minimally speaker, and he finished his schooling a few years ago, right before COVID, and he's been in a day program since then, and then we're just starting a new individualized day program for him that helps with career path and communication using a spelling board. And so he's doing really fantastic. You know, we did so much biomedical treatment when he was younger. He was a very sick child. As many of them are. He was kind of the poster child of the biomedical movement. And, you know, he did chelation and hyperbaric chamber therapy and infrared sauna and all of the different things that help him. And I think one of the best ones that he did was intravenous immunoglobulin, since he has primary immunodeficiency. Wow. But thank goodness we did all of that, because he used to have, you know, 20 seizures a day, and now he's seizure-free. He doesn't have any gastrointestinal issues anymore. And so his, I know, it's amazing. It saved his life, and now he's really a thriving adult who's a very, very happy guy all the time.
How old was he when you got the autism diagnosis?
He was a year and a half.
Young.
Yeah, so he had some problems with his vaccines. And so at 1 year old, and then he had severe brain injury from that, and so he had, you know, difficulty with digestion, and he's on a special diet, and all of those things that we see so commonly, unfortunately, with the autism spectrum. Yeah,
he's a pretty classic case, isn't he?
He sure is.
Yeah, did he talk a little before he became autistic or no?
He was a little bit, yeah. And so he was babbling, you know, the normal baby babbling.
Right.
And mama and daddy and, you know, all of those dogs, all of those words. And he lost it completely.
He did.
And even the babbling was gone. So he didn't, and he wasn't able to walk. He crawled until he was 4 years old and had a lot of, he had a very high prescription, crossed eyes. You know, he had a lot of visual problems.
Oh, he did. And you were already an optometrist, so you looked at
that. That's right. Yeah. So he had glasses as a baby, and then we, and that was one of the reasons too. It all came about that same time. And that's one of the reasons why I really needed to research everything so I could help him develop his vision, and he's got completely normal vision now with great binocular skills, and visual acuity is you know, perfectly normal. And so it's but the biggest thing that he had was not only the depth perception problems, but just where his ability to know where his body was in space. You know, he'd just, like he'd run into something and he'd go back and, run into it again because he's like, where did that come from?
Right.
And he would fall down the stairs and then he'd go up the stairs and fall down again. You know, it was, and we couldn't get him to stop doing that. And it's because he's just, he had no idea where his head was, where his arms were. He was a big flapper. Every step that he took,
well, thank goodness he had you for a mother.
I think he was made to be my.
Wow, you taught each other, right?
That's the thing, is that he taught me so much on how to communicate with him, even though he was a non-speaker. Mm-hmm. And that's really where my practice is rather a niche within a niche. It's not
it
just
sure
about optometry, but it's 95% of my patients are non-speakers.
And this is why I contacted you, because of this whole amazing new movement to work with non-speakers. And I don't want to jump right into that yet, because there's, you have so much more depth, before you got there. And I want to cover some of those other things that you've mentioned. You talked about a strabismus and that he didn't walk till he was four. And, you know, so many of our listeners haven't listened to some of the previous interviews. I have over 100 interviews that are now archived, and each optometrist, like each patient with autism, has a unique way of delivering services. And I want people to go back and listen to Hans Lessmann and Sarah Lane and Randy Shulman and the others, so that they understand the relationship between motor and vision, and the relationship between vision and talking, and vision and making friends, and vision and moving. It's all so complicated. Do you want to comment on any of those about your son?
Yes, absolutely. With the everything that you mentioned is something that most people don't understand.
Right.
And with the, you know, when he was in school, they just assumed, you know, he's a visual learner because he wasn't speaking. And
right.
I was like, so how do you know that?
Right.
How do you know that he's a visual learner? And when it was just the opposite.
He
exactly.
was a learner.
And he was listening, as we find out now,
right.
every single thing that we were
right.
saying. And it was really the vision that was impacting, and his apraxia, which is that difficulty with motor planning, that he had, since, you know, he was a year old, that really restricted, his ability to, flourish, you know, early on. And
right.
so with the, when he was first starting, with therapy, what we were working on is all of his motor skills, because vision is actually motor.
Right.
We're perceiving images that are perceived by input, gathering and information through our eyes. And if you're having difficulty with the motor aspect of moving your eyes to gather that visual information, then you're going to have difficulty processing that information.
Right.
So the different movement activities are being able to just fixate on something. And when you're not able to stay fixated on, say, an object that you want, because you don't know where your body is in space, you can't tell the depth of where things are. And so
exactly.
you go to grab it and it's not there. And that
right.
that is one of the main things, in my opinion, of why there's such a high rate of strabismus or eye turns in this population. It's you know, the studies are between 25% and 60% of them, which
wow.
normally it's around 5% in the
uh-huh.
neurotypical population. And I think, you know, one of the main reasons is because their proprioception, which is like where their body tells you where, you know, where's my arm? you
right.
know, the muscles and the tendons and all that, that's that proprioception telling me where's my arm in space. All of that isn't developed. And so there's a lot of hand flapping and spinning and turning and to stimulate the vestibular system and the proprioception system and to give them that experience that they need to tell them where their body is based. So the first part of developing vision is to tell, is to see, where am I? You know, where is my body in space?
Right.
Before you can tell, where is it? You know, where is the thing that I want and that I'm looking at? And then you have to have the clear vision of what is it, and be able to fixate and follow and jump from one object to another. All of those are skills that are not there when we're born. They're a developed skill, and so
and learned,
because it's a developed
and learned
skill,
through experience,
yeah, and learned. It's something that can be taught as
right.
well, and
right.
so. So once they develop where, what is it, then it's what do I know about it, and how do I want to communicate about it, and what am I thinking about this object, and all of those four things, which is Skeffington's model of vision, is what comprises of vision. Most people think of vision as sight, which is, you know, if you have great 20/20 sight,
eyesight,
that means you have perfect vision.
Wrong.
But that's not true. and speaking to the choir here, but it's not true because vision encompasses the processing of vision is every part of the brain. 70 to 80%.
I'm so glad you brought that up because vision is a brain. It's the interaction between the eyes and each other and the eyes in the brain. And that's
mm-hmm.
why we add that word neuro, because the
brain
is part of the neurological system. It's not just clarity of eyesight.
Exactly. They're not just a camera that sends images, you know, that most people think an eyeball is just a camera. That's really the hardware of the system. But the software of the visual system is all in the brain. And
right.
And so if you have really any neurological or developmental problem, it's because it's in the brain. And you know, brain is rather plastic too, and so that's
right.
And so so it's really wonderful to see how we can really impact the life of everyone who has these developmental and neurological
right.
problems.
Wow, Susan, this is so helpful and so interesting to our listeners. I can't wait to get into how we're then going to use this with these non-speaking individuals, which is what we're going to come up with next. You're listening to the Autism Detectives. We need to take a short break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. My guest today is Dr. Susan Daniel, a neurodevelopmental optometrist who has a son, a 26-year-old son with autism, non-speaking. And Susan was just, as she said, a regular optometrist before Matthew. And then she got into developmental optometry and now in neurodevelopmental optometry working with the spellers. So I'm so excited to get into this. So Matthew's not talking. He's doing well. We've helped him with a biomedical approach. He went from unhealthy to healthy. And at what point did you recognize that even though he wasn't communicating verbally with you, that there was somebody home, that he was understanding and trying to communicate what he understood?
Well, that was the interesting part, is that that didn't happen right away. You know, so many of the professionals were really inferring that since he was a non-speaker, that he was so severely autistic that he also had some intellectual disability as well.
Right.
It was just assumed that he was.
They didn't assume competence, which is
exactly
what
and
we're
so
talking
he was
about now.
Listening and absorbing everything auditorily, and what we find now that he had been reading for quite some time, but nobody knew because he couldn't express it, and
right.
he couldn't show it because of his motor planning difficulties. Oh. And whereas I started to see that, you know, he could use an iPad so easily, and he could scroll through a bunch of words to find, you know, what song that he particularly wanted. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, you know, he's reading.
And nobody taught him.
And nobody taught him. It was all self-taught. And I'm hearing impaired, and so I have the subtitles on the TV all the time. And so I can read it because I can't hear what the TV is saying.
And he was doing the same.
And he was reading it the whole time and connecting it with that auditory.
Wow.
And we really discovered the depth of that in the last year and a half, 2 years, when I got connected with the Spellers Method group. And what the Spellers Method is, I became aware of it more from getting referrals from them for their non-speaking young adults and children.
Mm-hmm.
What the Spellers Method is using a low-tech device, which is a letter board that is like a stencil with the letters on it, and they use that to teach the ocular motor and the gross motor skills in order to show them their competencies. So on the first, you know, what they do, how it works, is that the speller will hold a stylus or use their finger. Some kids can't even use their finger to point, so they hold a stylus. And if they're asked to spell, you know, birthday, then they use their shoulder instead of their hand to move forward their arm to get the B, then the I, then the R, then the T, then the H. And sometimes it's on the very first day that they've ever tried this in their life, they're able to spell, and it usually blows their parents away.
I'm sure.
That they're able to do this. And even with my son, you know, his very first day of spelling, they were asking him very complex questions about, they do a lesson, you know, and it was about Benjamin Franklin, and you know, that he was an author and an inventor, and that he invented the harmonica, which I had never heard of an harmonica instead of a harmonica. He invented the harmonica. And the very first thing that my son spelled was harmonica.
No.
I couldn't believe it. I was just
wow.
And how did he know that? You know, that was never taught in his special ed class. And how did he know how to spell that? And so I get home, and he spelled all kinds of things that first day. And so I came home and showed my husband, and he was ready to go to his schooling. And so I showed my husband, and I was like, Matthew,
you're not going to believe this.
Yeah, Matthew, tell me where you're going today. And Matthew always says camp. You know, he calls his day program camp. And so I was expecting him to spell C-A-M-P. But what he spelled was Oceanside.
And
I'm like,
it.
Yeah, that's where the camp is located.
Wow.
And I had no idea. And he's spelling it, and I'm like, what is he spelling? I was trying to keep
amazing.
It up. And it was my husband who was like, he just spelled Oceanside. And it, you know, you become a believer right away. You know,
right
here
away.
I know I'm not influencing the board because I didn't even know what he was spelling.
I've had a couple of the pioneers in this spellers movement on the show. DM, Dawn Marie, who I'm sure you know, and Judy Chinnetz, whose son Alex had, you know, had the same experience that you did, where she didn't know that Alex was, taking in everything, and they were dumbing him down in the school system. They thought he was cognitively impaired. And so we've heard this story many times now. Honey Renicole Sellis told us the story of Vince, and, you know, this story, unfortunately, is just, it's so sad that we didn't know that these kids were processing so well. So how did you get involved with this group? Matthew?
Well, luckily, Dawn Marie, DM, is, I had done, vision therapy for her non-speaking son. About 10 years ago,
that
but I didn't really
ago.
Understand. Yeah, I helped develop the skills that he needed for spelling, but I didn't even know that he was a speller or what spelling was. Otherwise, I would have
started
myself.
You just did vision therapy.
And I did vision therapy with him, and, you know, when he talks about his life story, he talks about how vision therapy really improved his ability to know where his body's in space and be able to, you know, look and point to the letters. And I had no idea that we made that impact with him.
Wow.
Until it was a couple of years ago where Dawn Marie started sending me patients, and we started becoming very involved. You know, her office and my office are only 5 minutes away. So it was
Oh, that was meant to be.
Yeah, and so she would actually come, you know, for her clients when they came to my office for the exam. And so she would come with them to the evaluation and learn and see how, what vision problems that they actually had and how that impacted their success and efficiency in using the letter boards. So
Susan, we need to take another break. And when we come back, I'd like you to describe what some of what you do in vision therapy for these non-spellers and how it impacts their ability to spell better. You're listening to the Autism Detectives. My guest, Dr. Susan Daniel, a neurodevelopmental optometrist in California, is telling us about her work with the spelling community. We'll be right back.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. Dr. Susan Daniel, a neurodevelopmental optometrist, is telling us about how she does vision therapy with mostly with people with autism, young adults, even some younger children who are non-speakers. Susan, before you go on, can you give people some contact information if they want to get in touch with you about what you're doing? How would they reach you?
My business email is susan.danieloptometry@gmail.com. That's really the best way to get a hold
of
me. And so susan.danieloptometry.com. And I welcome questions from other doctors, from optometrists, from parents, you know, anybody who's interested in not just optometry, but spelling as well. And so, because I've become, that's really changed my whole career, is not just working with vision therapy, but now vision therapy specifically for the spellies.
As you said, a niche inside a niche inside a niche.
Exactly.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's SusanDanielOptometry.com.
Oh, good. Okay, and Daniel singular, no S.
That's correct.
And Optometry.com. Okay. Okay. So tell us a little bit about what does vision therapy look like for one of these spellers? And I know every kid's different. Everybody's different, but generally.
Well, yes, it's very targeted vision therapy. You know, there's so much, you know, vision therapy is a very broad area to where we can work with not only visual efficiency skills like ocular motor and focusing and eye teaming, but then the whole processing part of how does the brain process that visual information. And what I target with the spellers is that I know that their brain is working so well as far as knowing exactly what they want to say, know exactly what they want to do, but their body is not cooperating.
Mm-hmm.
It's not allowing their body motor skills, which we call apraxia, to show anybody. So with the vision therapy that I do, I work with occupational therapists working with intentional motor skills, which we have reflexive motor skills, you know, where you just, like, grab things, you know, as a reflex. We have impulsive motor movements, which are ones where, you know, the kids are just grabbing things all the time or they're just impulsive. But their mind is not wanting to do that. It's just that is a movement that has been ingrained in them for so long that they do that, or they talk in loops. Rather than purposeful motor. And that's what occupational therapy do that. And then what I do is intentional motor for the visual system. So first is doing a full comprehensive exam, identifying what areas they have problems. And remember, I think the strabismus is huge in the autism group. But I see all non-speakers, not just autism, but cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, other neurological conditions. And it's all the same for these non-speakers. They have apraxia, and it's apraxia of speech. And so that apraxia goes throughout their body and their vision. So I identify, say they have a visual pursuit problem, and they have an eye that turns out, and the eye that turns out wants to turn out more in down gaze. Well, that is very important to know because they're looking at the board in down gaze, and they're having to, say, jump fixate from one point to another, from an A to a Z, but their eyes are not going into that. So I target the vision therapy to give them a lot of experience, and because it's the experience that helps develop the motor skills, the neurological connections to develop those motor skills, and doing lots of different activities that require jump fixating from one point to another, and telling where their body is in space so that they can tell where things are in space, so that whole depth perception. And when you get those things, the eye turns, improve or go away. And they go away pretty fast when you get the body awareness better. And so it has a different neurological connection, I believe, than just a sensory motor strabismus, because mm-hmm. I find that it improves with direct specific therapy for the ITME. Now, I've adapted, a lot over the years, a lot of the techniques that I use are taken from, the history of vision therapy that's been around, 70, 80, years.
Right.
From all of those experienced professionals in the past, and then adapt each activity to where you don't have to speak. So if we're doing an eye-teaming connection, I use different prism lenses. Now, the patient may be sensitive to wearing glasses, so I use, a type of a lens called a prism that helps move the images closer together, then I make them separate, then it moves them together, and
wow.
then it teaches them to how to move their eyes to put the images together on their own.
Without the prism.
Without the prism, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then,
so it's like a training device.
It's a training device. And we use a lot of different filters, like photonic phototherapy, which is using a filter that helps the specific color wavelength, that when they look through the color, the eye receives the light that's through that color, and it alters the autonomic nervous system. And that just alone helps their body regulate so that they can do active activities. And
Dr. Mary Van Hoy told us about that. I forgot about her. I'm sorry. When I was talking about the other optometrists I've had, she's very active with Syntonic. So is Dr. Lessman. And, again, for those listeners who are unfamiliar with Syntonic, you might want to listen to those interviews.
Yes, and it's using all of the tools in the toolbox from optometry, lenses and prisms and filters and different types of occlusion and all of these passive and active therapies that really help develop those skills. And I do vision therapy both in office and online. I have an online business that for, since this is a very specialty, people come from all over the state. I'm licensed in Nevada and Arizona and California. So they travel in for the evaluation, and then I develop a... So that they can do, I'm teaching the parents how to work with their kids, and then they practice for a few weeks, and then I come back, reassess, and we go to the next section.
Isn't technology wonderful?
Yeah.
Oh, Susan, it's time for our last break. It's time goes so fast, and you have so much to tell us. So we'll take another break, and then I want to come back and talk about what's happened, how the Spellers movement has exploded with the movie and the upcoming series that you're involved in. You're listening to the Autism Detectives. My guest, Susan Daniel, a neurodevelopmental optometrist working with the nonverbal population of autism. We'll be right back.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism.
Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. Dr. Daniel's telling us about her amazing work with the Spellers community. This is just exploding, Susan. They're coming from all over to see you. Have you been successful in working with other optometrists to help them understand this population?
Well, you know, that's one of my main professional goals, is to teach other developmental optometrists all the things that I've learned over the many years of working with non-speakers. And so I did develop a webinar that you can find on my website that is specific for optometrists.
Really?
So that they can learn about what spelling is and what's the procedure on how it goes, how they can take, there's many different cases, looking at different specific visual problems, and then what therapies I've used and how developing it to be accommodated for non-speakers. And then I encourage any of them to consult with me, and I'll help develop a program for their patients. So
fantastic.
I do use the NORA and the COVD and OEP websites to find doctors in these areas when patients fly out to see me.
So you mentioned NORA, Neuro Optometric Rehab. You were president of that, right?
Yeah, for 4 years.
Yep. And then Optometric Extension Program and COVD, College of Optometrists and Vision Development. COVD and OEP have practitioner directories, and you can help people find the right optometrist to work with where they are.
Yes. And I do a lot of consulting for that.
Oh, that's great. So we've talked about with other people who've been on my program about the Spellers movie, which was your son in the movie?
He wasn't in the movie because it was developed before we knew about Spellers.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually around the same time that they were shooting when he just started.
Okay.
But the movie is called Spellers. You can watch it online.
Yep.
You go to spellersthemovie.com, and
yep,
you scroll down and you can say watch. You pay $10 and you can watch one of the best movies you'll ever watch.
Amazing.
It's a full series movie that's an hour and a half, and it's about the lives of eight Spellers and their journey through learning how to spell to communicate, and how their lives have completely changed. And it's a powerful, wonderful movie.
And I dare you to watch it without crying.
You usually do.
Even if you don't know
so
any of these people, it's quite touching.
And
then there's the book, Underestimated, written by J.B. Handley.
Yeah, that movie started everything. J.B. Handley's son.
That book.
Yeah, wrote the book about their experience with spelling. And then from that became the Spellers movie. And, you know, 15 million plus people watched the movie, which is great, and they're still continuing to watch the movie. And then from that, developed, because the success was so great and people wanted more, they developed, just recently, a television series that's going to be online. You can find out about it, www.underestimated.tv. That's coming out in May, this May. And there's a series of different episodes. And the series goes into dating for non-speakers. It has one on job interest. They are launching a beer where the non-speakers are developing their own brand of beer. Then they have one that I'm in that talks all about the vision and the vision motor and intentional
inspiring
motor.
Vision, it's called, right?
Yes, and it's with the Down syndrome community because they have this amazing intelligence as well that that is not presumed, and I found the most eloquent poetry and speeches and ideas and thoughts that are coming from these spellers that were long thought to be intellectually disabled. So the series, I'm in series in episode 4.
Yeah.
Goes over all of these wonderful stories.
How do people access this? It's online only?
It's going to be online only, underestimated, .tv. And
TV like what you watch. T
yes,
like Tom, V like Victor.
Yes.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like a pay-per-view.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so with the title of the whole series is Underestimated, The Heroic Rise of Non-Speaking Spellers. So,
I love that.
Yeah, it's about the story of all different spellers that have different diagnoses, different motor planning issues, and you can see that even those who have cerebral palsy and have really high difficulties of motor issues are spelling up a storm. I've seen over 80 patients so far who are non-speaking just in the last year, and it's been just remarkable what they say, way more eloquent than me.
This blows away all our preconceived ideas about Down syndrome, about cerebral palsy, about autism, and the cognitive limitations that we assume that these youngsters, individuals have. This is presumed competence.
Presumed competence, absolutely. And I wish I knew about it, 20 years ago. It would have been great. You know, most of these spellers saying that they knew how to read when they were 4 years old. And with the, if we had targeted therapy back then.
Oh, imagine.
And it did start. You know, it started with rapid prompting method.
Right.
By Soma Mukhopadhyay, I think you say her last name. And, and she had started with her son this movement with, using letterboards to spell. And then they, it's developed over the years with that method, which is still, used and, throughout the world and is wonderful. Then the Spelling to Communicate group, which, you'll find with IASC, I don't know what it stands for, .org, and then the Speller's Method. And the Speller's Method, what sets that one apart, the one that I'm working with, is that they're really looking at the triad of occupational therapy, optometry, and the spelling therapy. So, and it's really...
Wow, oh wow. And this takes us the whole gamut. And Matthew, what do you think he's going to do with his life and his newfound skills?
Well, you know, he's getting excited about finally being able to tell us what he wants and in his life, you know. So whether that's going to college, whether that's having a job, whether that's dating, you know, even down to what he wants to eat, you know.
Oh, it's like amazing.
We just made assumptions our whole life, and it may be completely different than what we think. So He has his autonomy to where he can actually tell us what he wants. And
fantastic.
That opens up the whole rest of his life.
Susan, I can't thank you enough for coming on and telling the world about the visual component of spelling and the speller's movement and non-speakers in autism. This is just a remarkable continuation of this story. And if you haven't listened to the other episodes with DM and Judy Chinitz and Honey Rinnancella and her son Vince, you need to listen to those stories and be sure and have a box of Kleenex. It's just quite remarkable. Thank you, thank you. Let's stay in touch and continue what you're doing, and good luck to you and Matthew.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you inviting me today.
All right.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.